I'm Dr. Shirley Carell, when Dr. Carell comes from Florida, and she puts out a newspaper, and she publishes books. And Dr. Carell, it's so good to have you with us tonight.
Good to be with you.
Fine. Now, that latest book that you put out by Dennis Cuddy, Conspiracy, Secret Records Revealed. Would you like to tell our listeners anything at all about that new book you have?
Well, Dr. Cuddy's latest book deals with the issues of how to go about explaining what is going on in our country these days. And most of us know a great deal about the things that are wrong, but we don't know how to tell other people. And Dr. Cuddy's book puts that in a conversational form in which it makes it a little easier to show people how documented proof establishes the problems that we're facing today. And then also there's a section in the book that deals with, looking back from 2100 and explaining how we got where we're at. It's a very interesting book.
It really is. It's and for the listener out there, Dr. Cuddy is a historian, and he's done a lot of seminal work in trying to help people to understand what is really going on in our society. And he simply quotes and gives you the source of reference, quotes from Woodrow Wilson, who says, you know, there is a force out there. It's so frightening that many powerful men will only speak of it in a whisper. They're afraid to talk about that. And then he quotes a letter written by FDR to Colonel Edward House, saying, you know as well as I do that our economic system has been controlled by banking interests going back to the time of Andrew Jackson. I mean, everybody knows that. Nobody, in essence, nobody wants to talk about it. And so, you know, and going back to Disraeli, who in Coningsby, his book Coningsby, talks about the world is ruled by far different people and then those who are not the inside have any glimpse of. And, of course, then putting all of these quotations into context so people can understand that there are forces out there that are intent upon taking away our freedom and creating a socialist society. Now, what sort of response are you getting to it? Are you being able to get copies of that out pretty well?
Yes, we are, and it's being very well received. Dr. Cuddy is very well known, and many people just want almost everything he writes because he boils things down into a very small amount of information and covers a lot of ground. So I think that you'll find that he's one of the better writers of today.
He's
not a sensationalist. He just puts things out for you in a way they're very easy to understand.
Like Joe, what was his name on Dragnet? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
Ma'am. Nothing but the facts.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in getting that book, we are carrying that here at Radio Liberty. And I think it's a very, very effective tool to give to other people who really don't believe that there is something out there working behind the scenes, manipulating and controlling both political parties. Well, now, of course, Dr. Carell has been very interested in education for a long time, and she's put out a good deal of information. In fact, she publishes Dr. Cuddy's work on the timetable of education, going all the way back to Robert Owens here in America, and the secret society that Robert Owens created back in the 1830s or 1840s to take over control of education. What's happening in education today?
Well, of course, many people know certain terms, but they don't always know what they mean. And in the United States today, we are watching a nationalization of practically every aspect of American life. And most of that nationalization is to prepare America for internationalization. In other words, and before we can internationalize education, it had to be nationalized. So what we call it for public consumption is outcome-based education or Goals 2000. But basically what it is the largest grab for power the United States government has ever made. And in this grab for power, it is a time in which all control of education is being changed. We, in 1986, we signed the Soviet-American Agreement, which literally began to merge our systems into the international systems. And at that time, we began to bring in concepts that were very foreign to the United States, concepts which have to ultimately destroy freedom. And so we began to do away with the diploma and replace it with a certificate of initial mastery, which is very similar to what goes on in the dictator-controlled countries, in which people cannot go to work or go to college unless they are politically correct. The whole process of Goals 2000 begins to question the child on his attitudes, his beliefs, and his behaviors, something we have never done in a free society. The process of directing his choice of careers is even government-directed and driven. And we called that program School to Work. It literally moves the process out of the hands of the individual himself and into a government-driven situation in which you produce workers for the international market. So the whole of education is dovetailing itself into first nationalizing education and then into the process of internationalized education. And for this reason, you will see that in the traditional United States, we train people to be individuals, and we allowed them to benefit in direct ratio to the amount of time and energy they wish to invest in their careers. That is not going to be the case. We have what today is known as collective education, where children are taught and graded as groups. And if the group doesn't function well, the individual is graded on what others do. So we call it cooperative learning. And we have a lot of things they all dovetail into this nationalizing of education. For many years, we have shifted the emphasis from the individual to the group. And whether you want to call it collectivism or communism, it's very little different. But the things that made America great are being destroyed in the public schools today. Now, if you want to look at education and compare it with what is going on in our police departments are being nationalized first and internationalized. So that instead of being locally controlled police departments, we are now very much being controlled from the federal government. The same thing is going on in our medical fields. We are wiping out individual medical attention. We are moving to managed health care, which is very similar to your socialized medicine. So all of America is making this great plunge into collectivism. That process, which the rest of the world has run from, America is being pushed into. And so if you are a student of these kind of things, you would understand that much of what is taking place in the United States today is patterned after the writings of Italian Gramsci. He was a collectivist, a communist. He went to prison during the Mussolini days, but he wrote a lot of what he called letters from prison. And if you were to compare the United States movement toward these very same mechanisms, he said that the kind of communism that had been dished out to that point would not work in all aspects. And the thing that you must do is go in and destroy the culture, change the culture, so that every individual in that society is permeated with a cultural change. This is exactly what is going on in the United States today, and you would find a great deal of the writings of the Clinton administration are based on the writings of Gramsci. So if we bring it all into a collective whole, we begin to see that. For instance, today, the November-December 1996 issue of Society out of Rutgers University is now talking about licensing parents in the United States to have children. In other words, it is the concept of the intellectual ivory tower thinkers that parents in the United States ought not to be permitted to have children unless they have passed a license. Now, the idea sounds foreign to you and I, but if we were to go back over the textbooks that our children have been receiving for the last almost 30 years, we would see our children have been taught these concepts. They have been discussing them. They are ready for them. Parents and grandparents are not, because they are they weren't the ones that were being taught during those times. But the child has been readied through so that as he moves into adulthood, these concepts are not at all foreign to him.
You know, I think that's really so interesting. I had a email today from a young man who was writing that all of his friends believe in socialized medicine, and he wanted me to perhaps give him some information on what was wrong with socialized medicine. And they thought, well, you know, we're going to give up a little of our freedom, but, you know, in the long run, we're going to benefit so much from that. And the fact that they would actually feel that way without understanding what's wrong with socialized medicine shows what a wonderful job the socialists have done in our schools and universities for the last generation, because these people, just as myself 30 years ago, have no idea what's wrong with socialism.
Well, most of the young people today do not understand the word socialism. They do not understand the difference between a free society and one that is controlled by socialism. They do not understand that it involves a tremendous loss of individual freedom. Now, many, many years ago, children learned those things. But what we would have to understand is that today's education system is tremendously different than the one that we had and then our children had, a much weakened system, and their children now have a much more weakened system.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have no appreciation of the understanding of the value of freedom. I think if you'll go back and read the writings of G. Edward Hunter, who was a real expert in the brainwashing that was taking place in Korea and in Vietnam. And when he began to write, he said that those who were most susceptible to brainwashing, he said, it was a very disturbing trend in that the characteristics that would allow you to withstand brainwashing were literally being destroyed in the public schools of America.
And of course, that was a religious belief, a belief in country. And of course, what I remember, wonderful book that he had written on brainwashing in Korea, and he told the story about this young man who'd been to college, and you know, they just wiped out all of his beliefs. And then the communists got hold of him, and, you know, and began to pound on him and pound on him and pound on him. And they so stripped him of his humanity, he just went over in the corner and curled up and died. Wouldn't eat, wouldn't do anything at all, because he had nothing to live for. He didn't believe in anything. If he didn't believe anything, he couldn't withstand the mental attack that they exerted on him. Do you remember that story? You probably don't,
but
that's
a
long time ago.
Yes,
but,
I do.
Of course, incidentally, I just came across about a half a dozen of those books by Edward Hunter, and we still have them if any of our listeners are interested. But the psychological brainwashing that, as Dr. Correll says, that was used on our troops in Korea by the communists is being used today in our schools by American teachers. That
well,
is what's frightening.
What most people do not understand, they make no connection, no mental connection between the changes that are taking place in the United States today and the signing of the United Nations Treaty. What they do not understand is that when we signed the United Nations Treaty, we agreed to bring our education system into conformity with that of the United Nations teachings. So, you know, we have a situation in which we do have changes that are coming from that. For instance, the United Nations International Right of the Child. The teachings that were inherent in the right of the child are very much being changed and brought about today in the United States, in that all of our child abuse laws, even those that violate the United States Constitution, are being recognized. And the United States Constitution is being totally ignored. For instance, the United States Constitution says you have the right to face your accuser. And yet you will find all over the United States you have these anonymous hotlines where people can call in and charge you with abusing a child, and they will never have to face the individual. The United States Constitution has always guaranteed the citizen the right to a free trial, a trial by a due process. by a jury of one's peers, and yet very often children are removed from the home without any semblance of a trial. And there are just many, many of the constitutional rights that are just being swept away as we are brought into conformity with the United Nations treaties. And so we will see, if we are very alert and very watching, that what is transpiring, for instance, the process of bringing brainwashing into the United States public schools was done under what was known as court-ordered busing. And yet, never before in the United States did courts make laws such as what has transpired since we have the process of these federal politicized and humanized judges making rules that totally ignored the United States Constitution. And where did all of this come from? It began to be taught in the universities after we signed that treaty. And so we began to totally sweep aside the constitutional protections of freedoms in order to bring about these changes. And these changes are very prominent, and they're very prevalent, and they are terrible changes that impact our life. So now, instead of the bureaucrat simply being happy with governing your child's life from womb to tomb, now they want to even be able to say, who will be permitted to have a child? Now, if we'll notice, this is all patterned after what is now transpiring in China.
Sure. And most people have no idea that, that leaders of America are dedicated to giving us the same type of educational, political, and economic system that today exists in communist China.
And they have to recognize that with that comes a total ignoring of our sacredness of life. We have always said that the individual had dignity and worth, and that the government didn't just sweep those rights away. But this is not true. In today's world, we're seeing a total sweeping away of those rights, the right of the unborn child. And this happened within a few short years after we signed that treaty. We began to ignore that child's right to life in a sweeping movement to control world population.
Absolutely. Well, let me give our we know what's happening. But why are we doing this? And why, whether we seem to have the Republicans in the White House or in control of the Congress, or the Democrats are in the White House in control of the Congress, we seem to keep moving right along the same path, the same domestic and foreign policy. Why is that? Can't we change that by the electoral process?
I think we're well beyond the... I think if people are expecting that the electoral process is going to change that, I think the United States is not going to have a revolution. I think if you're looking in the future, you're looking in the wrong direction. I think the revolution has occurred. And in my own concept, I see what is going on and those people who now occupy the White House as those who are who represent those who pulled off this revolution. And it doesn't make any difference whether they're the Democrats or the Republicans if both are dedicated socialists. America is not to be given a choice between the socialism and the traditional free enterprise. They will be given a choice of conservative socialism under the Republicans and liberal socialism under the Democrats. And the way that you can understand that is true is if you will listen carefully to Newt Gingrich, you'll find that he is not at all opposed to the socialized medicine. It is what form of socialized medicine you will be getting. So I feel that both political parties are one arm and the other arm of the socialist mechanism. As I have studied the collapse of other countries, the writings that were very prevalent in England were always that never would the English people be given a choice between different forms of government and socialism. They were to be given only the choice of socialism A and socialism B, and so therefore you can compare this and you can see in the United States that the American people are not to be given a choice, only between two arms of controlled mechanisms, so that through the process of controlling both the Republicans and the Democrats from the top down, through through our committee system, those that are in charge, for instance, Newt Gingrich is painted as a conservative by the media. Well, in fact, Newt Gingrich is a very liberal college professor who promoted and worked for the election of Nelson Rockefeller.
Sure, we know of reality. I always start our program by saying reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. Mm. And that's really what it is. It's all illusion. And, of course, when the media attacks Newt Gingrich, the conservatives rally behind him and say, gee, he's got to be good because the bad guys are attacking him. And, of course, that's all part of showbiz. You know, you never want to give the sucker an even break. And if you can move the shell around rapidly enough with the pea underneath it, nobody knows where the pea is. And that's really what the games that they're playing with us, as they tell us that this one's a conservative and that one's a liberal, or this one's a Republican and that one's a Democrat, and they're all going the same direction, exactly as you pointed out.
Well, it's very interesting. I very often get calls from people who say, well, we have a conservative running in our state for Commissioner of Education, and he's against Goals 2000. And then you begin to ask them questions, and you will find that piece by piece, he is very much in favor of it. He verbalizes that he is against it because that's what he knows people want to hear. But in essence, if you begin to ask him the component parts of outcome-based education, mastery learning, and other items, you'll find that those educators basically are in favor of putting exactly the same thing in place. And I have said many years now that dealing with the education system of the United States is like putting a girdle on a snake. I've always said it might be able to be done, but it's just not worth the trouble. You might just better get your kids out of it.
Well, I would tend to agree with you there. You hate to write off public education, but we don't have time to try to turn this thing around, and you can't do that until we've educated a whole generation of young people. And for those young people who are in it now, the best thing to do, I agree with you totally, is to get them out, because education will destroy their religious outlook, their understanding of what America is all about, and certainly will turn them into simply extensions of this whole socialist system, people who will readily go along with the wonderful new utopia that is planned for them.
Parents often do not understand the powers that move and drive education. There has been more power and money in the foundations, the tax-exempt foundations, and Stan, I know that you carry a wonderful book on that, Foundations and Their Powers by Renee Wurmser. It is an excellent book, and it is one in which you will see that education, as well as our own State Department, has been driven by people that have been dedicated to changing our form of government and merging us into this new world, or what I call the new world odor.
Yes.
So I think that's the system, is that most people do not understand. All of the vulgar sex education is but a symptom of world population control, which turns the child on sexually in a way that literally destroys the true basis of marriage. The true basis of marriage should always be that sex is an expression of love. But in today's, what I would call, over-sexualized world, the child is exposed to the most horrible perversions and taught that they are simply alternative lifestyles. And the only sin is not, if these people believe that there is such a thing as sin, is to have sex without a condom. It has nothing to do with right and wrong. It has nothing to do with love. It has simply to do with biological functions that simply destroy every semblance of love. And if you watch what they do to the young girl who normally enters school in her teens, has a natural aversion to sex. She is in no way ready for it. And yet you will see the school will literally molest that process of her aversion to sex until she has the mentality as one doctor has put it, he said, it produces the mentality of pimps and prostitutes in our young people. And so where does this stuff come from? If you go back to World Health Organization, Dr. Brock Chisholm wrote a book in which he said that the only thing that they really had to destroy One of the most important concepts to destroy in order to produce their world government was the concept of right and wrong. And so if you will watch, whether we talk about human relations training in the school or whether we talk about sex education, exactly the same process called sensitivity training is used to demoralize. I've watched, when I was president of the county council of BTAs here in our county, I watched as sensitivity training was used, and it became, I think most of America is going to be racially agitated. And under the guise of creating good human relations in communities and schools, there's horrible racial agitation going on in which professional agitators are working the people over. And you will see smoldering pots. For instance, St. Petersburg, Florida just has burned. In race riots, and Florida has been hit by them very hard, as I know California has.
Right, of course, but what's even more unbelievable is that the radicals and much of the revolutionary movement is being funded by the Ford Foundation.
That is
and
correct.
And by great tax-exempt foundations, and people ask why. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
It does if you want to produce a new form of government.
Of course it
and
does.
If you want to trigger racial riots as part of bringing in martial law, then racial riots make a lot of sense.
Absolutely. And you know, the tragedy is most of these poor, simple communists and revolutionaries are just too dumb to understand they're being totally manipulated.
Oh, yes. Of course, they've written many books stating that they will rub raw the resentments of a society in order to produce this. And of course, we know the Bible teaches that a house divided cannot stand. And so what we've seen is America has been worked over by the class warfare people. It's been young against old, rich against poor, male against female, labor against management, every segment.
Don't forget black against white, black Hispanic against black, heterosexual against homosexual.
In fact,
probably the best analysis I've ever read was in a homosexual magazine who said, don't you realize we're being manipulated to hate the Christians and they're being manipulated to hate us.
That's correct.
What's going on. And most of the, I don't think many of the homosexuals are too dumb to realize they're being set up.
Well, the communists wrote many books on how to produce the change they wanted, and they called some of these dialectics. A society is first to go in and rub raw resentments, to create warfare where none existed. And out of that conflict, you produce change. And so that is exactly what is taking place in America. Now, we can trace, if we can go back, and if we are historically observant, we can tie the smoldering pot that has been taking place in the United States back to the time when the actual signing on to the United Nations Charter was in the 40s, but all of the groundwork was laid early in this century, and they attempted to put into place the League of Nations, which wouldn't fly in America. But a great deal of change had preceded that, much of it by the tax-exempt foundations.
We're going to have to take a break here, and we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Shirley Carell. Dr. Carell was mentioning we carried the book Foundation, Their Power and Influence, probably one of the most important books ever written. It's been actively suppressed for many years, and Radio Liberty has reprinted that because we want to get the message of freedom out across our land. And you have to understand who it is who's really financing communism and socialism and liberalism and this move towards a socialist America. And believe me, the money's not primarily coming from overseas, although we always point to that. And we found out that the Communist Party was getting X number of dollars from Moscow. But that, of course, does not cover at all the countless millions of dollars that have come from people of great wealth here in America.
So one of the organizations, the Tavistock Institute, my early entrance into studying the educational system came because I watched, as county council president, I watched the funding of the sensitivity training in the schools under the guise of human relations. I observed that behind every court-ordered busing, vast sums flowed into the schools for sensitivity training, human relations training. And I myself, as the president of the county council, I was always told we could not, in any of our meetings, pray in the name of Jesus, because it was connected to a religion. And then I noticed that the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith was the mechanism that was there in all of them. And I thought how interesting that Christianity could not be mentioned, but these people were moving this seething hatred that they were promoting.
Sure.
And I found that if you are terribly observant, you will notice. My first observe, as I began to study what was transpiring, the interesting thing, I was complaining about what they were teaching the children in the textbooks, because many of our textbooks were teaching the children how to blow up police and other things. The exact same behavior that was being instigated in the riots was being taught in the textbooks under the guise of training black students, and they were being exposed to the most revolutionary of writings.
Amen. And, we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Shirley Carell. Okay, this is Dr. Stan here. And, of course, you can reach us by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-448-927. Now, if you'd like to call in here, you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 464-8295, or if you're outside the Santa Cruz dialing area, but anywhere within the reach of my voice, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Dr. Carell, is your a doctorate in education? What is your doctorate in?
I have a doctorate in education, and then I also have a second one in philosophy.
Okay. So. And how did you end up as a what we would call a conservative? I thought that those two fields were almost exclusive, exclusionary.
I went back and got my degrees when I was very grounded and I had my feet on the ground, so I was not swept away with many of the teachings that many of today's students are.
All right, fine. Now, Dr. Carell was telling us that when she was involved with in the educational system and was working, as a representative or one of the leaders in her county, that so much of the busing was used then to justify sensitivity training, and a lot of this was actually aimed not at quelling the racial dissension, but actually promoting it?
That is correct. And during that time, I would carry these... finally, I would go up before the Florida House and Senate committees asking them to review, because early on in the early days of racial riots, a good share of Miami was burned down, and what we call Liberty City was burned down in racial riots. I would point out that the very teachings that we gave to the children that I had complained on in the 70s was followed in the Liberty City riots, almost identical, how to blow up the police and the revolutionary writings the children were exposed to. I see exactly the same techniques, and when we had the Tampa riots, St. Petersburg riots, just a few months ago, one of the things I noticed was that there was an African socialist movement that were part of the instigators. And so here you have a tying in together of the political movements as well as with the rioting things. Now, what basically supposedly triggered it was a black man was driving a stolen car. A policeman told him to stop, and he didn't. He tried to run over the policeman. The policeman shot him and was found innocent before a grand jury of any wrongdoing. And then these folks set about to burn down a good section of St. Petersburg. The interesting thing as you watch all of this is that in Peru right now they're discussing terrorist activities, and they said you never reward a terrorist or you will have more terrorist activities than you can handle.
And, of course, we consistently reward them here.
That's correct. We brought in, we sent in, Cisnera came down here, and he sprinkled generously tax dollars to the terrorists who burned down the city.
And of course, a lot of them, I understand, they even were passing out flyers saying, you know, if this one policeman is exonerated, then other policemen are going to have to die or be attacked. And there was a planned program of targeting the police, and one or two of them were shot and injured. And this was all planned.
They shot at helicopters, and they burned the media for the first time. It was almost comical in the fact that the media generates much of this.
Sure.
For instance, when this policeman shot this man, instead of referring it to as a police doing his job, they kept referring to this man as the motorist. that was killed by the police, as opposed to a criminal being apprehended.
In other words, they didn't talk about the fact that he had actually stolen the car?
That is correct.
Well, it's sort of like Rodney King, you know. Here was a man who was a felon. He was, you know, had was driving drunk, recklessly, you know, running away from the police. Actually, when he came out of the car, he was attacking the police. You know, they'd done everything imaginable to try to quell him. And then, of course, when they showed the video of the beating, they never showed the part where he attacked the policeman. They just cut that part out and showed the part where he was being beaten. He was being beaten because they were trying to get him to stay down. They'd already they'd already zapped him with the taser and all the other things that had gone on. You know, and they tried to swarm him. And, of course, they were restricted from using some... The only thing they could do was to beat him. That was what was unfortunate, because they'd taken away every other technique that they had to try to control him.
Well, these people systematically shift attention from the wrongdoer to the police. Now, it is true that we do not want police brutality, but what people don't realize is as the media plays a big part in shifting the attention from the criminal to the police as the wrongdoer.
Absolutely. Say, we've got Bill on the line here. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Hey, haven't heard from you in some time.
Oh, I listen.
Okay, question or comment?
Well, yes, I'd like to ask your guest to go into a little more detail sometime during the program on the ADL. And I'd like to know where you stand with the ADL.
All right, well...
Anti-Defamation League. Doctor, I know we've gone around and around on this before, and of course I've been branded as an anti-Semite when I bring up the ADL, but they keep popping up in too many places and doing some pretty bad things.
All right, Dr. Sorrell, what do you think about the ADL?
Well,
want to know what the doctor thinks.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Stan, later on, but I would like for her to go into more detail about them, because I know plenty, but most people don't.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll listen more. Thank you.
One thing in my book, Body Snatching and the New World Odor, I cover the fact that many people do not understand that the process being used in the public schools on our children is brainwashing. Now, this is not my saying this. The teachers' union, the NEA, which I consider to be one of the most leftist groups in the United States, in their manuals, they refer to human relations training as coercive thought reform or brainwashing. So one thing I found as I was going through that it was being implemented into the schools through various and sundry Masonic organizations. Now, the Anti-Defamation League is a Jewish Masonic lodge. And what I found was that, along with this, the northern jurisdiction of the Scottish Rites were funding those. I can't remember. I think it was in Delaware. There's a whole state of Delaware. They were placing this, using this brainwashing, not on children who had emotional problems or any other problems. They were using it on the average child in the average school. Now, once I began to study their manuals and go back in to see who was bringing this into our schools, you could trace its pattern through some of the what I would call trade publications. There was a magazine or a publication in the libraries called Human Relations, which was published by Tavistock Institute. And Tavistock Institute, in my way of thinking, is one of the worldwide pulse centers for changing all of society from behind the scenes through what is known as social psychiatry, social psychology, and sociology. By using the manipulation of these fields, then what they were doing was altering society through the schools and every other vehicle that they could. And finding, for instance, Tavistock Institute was funded through some Rockefeller Foundation money. And it picked up from a wartime activity of the in London from the psychiatrists that were dealing with actual problems in the military. And it was shifted into a peacetime activity designed for altering, using psychiatry for social reasons, for altering societies. So you could begin to take all of these things, and you could see that where what they call their group methods, or their the human relations which literally became a form of brainwashing, was being taught on the universities across the United States through the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith. They published this in their own methods. One of their early trainers was a gentleman by the name of Louis Rath. And Louis Rath perfected these brainwashing techniques into a system that is now called values clarification in the schools. It entailed a series of sensitivity training methods, some of it being role-playing, acting out without the benefit of a script. So children would begin to act out when it's all right to lie, when it's all right to steal, when it's okay to fornicate, when it's okay to murder. For instance, the big thing was in the 70s, the early 70s, was what they called the Who Shall Survive game.
Oh, you mean the lifeboat game?
Lifeboat games, right. And the bomb shelter games. But literally what they'd say to the kid is, today we're going to act out that we're in a bomb shelter or in a lifeboat, and we have to decide who we will throw out, not if we will murder, but whom. And the whole process would set up scenarios in which children would inject their own personality into the role of the individual whom they were playing. The gentleman that devised this method was J.L. Moreno, Dr. J.L. Moreno. I think he came from Romania. And he called it God playing, or acting out your God syndrome. He said that if you played God, you became your own God. You did not need a God. So he would call the whole process acting out your God syndrome. Now, he was a dedicated Marxist who believed that the Marxist revolution had failed. And so he said that he believed that it was better to produce small revolutions in the individual. So these methods, and you'll find that almost as soon as he came to the United States, one of the first people he met was Roosevelt. And so you'll see that he was considered a very important individual. And his whole process was designed for the redefining of the self. And of course, we can look at the very highest offices in the United States, and we can see these redefined selves every place. And the foolish kind of thinking that promulgates such people into office. But I have maintained for many years that Bill Clinton was the personification of the values clarified individual. Right and wrong is whatever he wants it to be. He has totally had his values clarified. Now, that does not mean that his values were made more clear. Actually, the process of values clarification is a sensitivity training mechanism designed to obliterate the old personality and to redefine that personality. So what you have is the redefined self that is mainstreamed into readiness for the new world order. You destroy the old culture through such techniques. And the child is literally trained to ignore his parents or treat them as though they are so old-fashioned that they do not fit into this world. That is the process that is transpiring in the United States. I think that Bill Clinton is the personification of an individual who has had his values clarified until they no longer exist. Until right and wrong can be whatever he wants it to be at any given time. And so he can walk among people on the far left, and he can merge himself in with those. He can walk into what are so often referred to loosely as Christian churches and function there, because those people are continually going through the values clarification process without completely understanding that they also are into this very fluid system of values in which right and wrong is whatever you want it to be, as opposed to the godly system where right and wrong is clearly defined. And so, for many years, as we used this process in the schools, I began to write the judges in the state of Florida and to say, I find it interesting that on the one hand, the state teaches the child that it's all right to steal. And then when you get a hold of the child, you put him in prison. Now, it used to be that if a child learned his lessons well, he got an A instead of getting 5 years in the state pen. Now, the child who is taught in the public schools that there are no rights and there are no wrongs, that it's all right to lie and to steal. Now, when he meets up with the local sheriff, he doesn't believe that. So he arrests this kid who has learned his lesson very well, and he puts him in prison. I ask and pose the question to the judges, do you not find an enigma that the state which produces the crime then punishes the child for learning his lesson well?
What sort of response did you get from the judges?
In every case, I received letters back saying that they could not discuss by judicial canon any case that might come before them, and therefore they could not remark on the acceptability of the state both producing the criminal and punishing him for the behaviors which the state was instilling in the child.
Well, I think it's a very valid point. In fact, one of the few television programs I think has any redeeming value is something called Picket Fences, and we were at a program on last night, and I seldom watch television, but I broke down and did it, and it was rather interesting, a story of a young boy, 17-year-old, who got into gambling problems and shot a priest trying to extort money from him. And the judge was talking, and he said, you know, in every state in the union, we have gambling. And we encourage gambling. We have, gambling is available, on all sorts of sports games. Lots of the sports pages will tell you what the odds are in the football or the basketball games. And then we wonder why our young people are involved in gambling. And where is the real crime? Who is perpetrated? Who pushed this young man into doing what he did? Certainly he's responsible for what he did, but society encouraged him to gamble, and he has an addiction for gambling, and he got in over his head, and of course the tragedy that developed is partly the fault of the state. And it's really said so well, and exactly what you're saying is absolutely true. You take away the sense of right and wrong, and then we wonder why our young kids do the wrong thing.
Well, I was asked to appear before the Michigan Senate some years ago because Michigan was going through a time when they had so many young people murdering in Detroit that they said, would you come and appear before the Senate committees dealing with such things? And I said, yes. But I said, the whole process you cannot stop the system until you back us away from the controls from such agencies as the NEA. They have a stranglehold on education, and all that I might tell you will be useless. I said early back in the 60s, California had wonderful hearings on what was wrong with the schools and the moral development that was being disrupted in the schools. And in some of those Senate hearings in California, the legislative process said at no point have we as the legislators of the state ever authorized such revolutionary teachings to be put before our children.
But they're done anyway because the educational establishment has an agenda and the teachers are forced to do this sort of thing.
That is correct. Teachers today are, if a teacher dares to teach a child how to read and to write properly, you can count on it. They're going to be hassled in one way or another by those who have nothing but jobs to sell. Now, if we go back, I'm really glad to see California switching from whole language to some semblance of teaching a phonetic system.
Well, I don't really, that's what they're talking about. Do you know Karen Holgate, who does a lot of work out here? I had Karen on this afternoon, and she's analyzing this, and they're saying all the right things, but apparently that's not what they really intend to do.
Well, of course, that's what I told you, and you mentioned the word, the P-shell game. Education is a scam.
Right.
When Americans understand that our system, for instance, we do not teach children how to read, write, or to compute properly in their early grade. And therefore, when we begin to test that child, he does not test out well. The system of reading, the whole language, it is confusion to the mind of the child and produces many problems. By the time the child gets in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, his memory can no longer contain the number of words that it takes, and so the child goes into what I call overload.
I do think I know I've heard Samuel Blumenfeld say that some attention deficit disorder is related to that.
That is correct.
You really believe that?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Sam is correct. Oh. And when you begin to watch the P-shell game shift, they will come out and sometimes actually acknowledge their their wrongdoing. But then the thing is to keep your eye on the donut and not on the hole. These people are pea-shell game experts, so what they do is they shift you into another phase of their change. Very often today you'll hear them talk about going back to the basics, but you have to understand, when they say that, they don't mean reading, writing, and computational in traditional manner.
Absolutely not. Bill's back on the line. Bill, did you have something you wanted to say?
Well, yes, I feel an affinity towards your guest for many reasons, and I thought I was the only one who spoke of the New World Order.
In fact, we carry Dr. Carell's book entitled The New World Order.
Oh, really? Okay, right. Great. I thought I coined that, but then again, I thought I coined heterophobia.
Right.
But I never hear it out of anybody else's mouth.
Right.
Except mine. Well, anyway, you know, that was great on what you clarified on the ADL connection, and the values clarification is actually the ideal outcome of that's the Masonic ideal as well.
That is correct.
And it's incorporated in their two-headed eagle, which represents that good and evil can coexist together harmoniously. That means somebody can kill someone at night and go watch the kids at the preschool the next morning, I guess.
Well, I call education today a great scam.
Isn't
because we have turned our children over to the most hardened revolutionaries in the schools. And by and large, the average parent is blinded. And the reason they're blinded is, first of all, they are caught up in the same scam. Many of them are incapable of much higher learning because they have gone through a system where they have been deliberately dumbed down. I think it was John Dewey who said that a literate society would never knowingly go socialist, that they had to produce this illiteracy.
And they're doing such a good job.
Oh, they are doing a marvelous job. The thing that I would say is that when the child does not learn how to read or to write or to compute, then they begin to label this child with great flowing words, attention deficit disorder, and emotionally handicapped. And so we take the children. One thing we do in the United States, in order to make sure that we don't raise any masculine men, as soon as a little boy starts to show any sign of aggression, we fill him with Ritalin. We make sure that we wipe out any sign of masculinity in these little boys and count on it. The number of children on Ritalin is primarily our little boys.
Sure.
So what we do is we have this great scam going where we do not teach them how to read or to write or compute. Then when they don't learn how to read or write or compute, we say the child is dysfunctional. And we label him with having a learning disability. From that point on, the federal dollars just flow into the schools, and the schools love it because they get a lot more money once they label your child learning disabled. I call it the black hole of education, because once they suck your child into being labeled learning disabled, they will never let him get out of being labeled that way, because they get so many more dollars to do it. It's a great scam, this whole thing that goes on.
Okay, Bill, we're out of time. If you want to call in the next hour, you'll be more than welcome to, or you can hang on the line.
Okay.
Okay,
thank
you. Want to hang on or call back?
I can call back.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Dr. Carell. We're out of time. Thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and I hope we can get you on sometime on our afternoon program, because I think your message is a vitally important one.
Thank you, and I've enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Good night, and may the Lord be with you.
Lord be with you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Dr. Shirley Carell. And she comes out of Florida. She's close to St. Petersburg. And, of course, she sees what's going on. And I think that if you'd like to get a copy of this hour that we spent with Dr. Carell, there was a lot of wisdom there. She covered a lot of things that were very important. For instance, that in our schools, we're teaching our young black men how to blow up police cars and light fires and create a disorder. And then we wonder why they do it in our schools. With this idea of who's going to have to be thrown out of the lifeboat or who's going to be thrown out of the bomb shelter. We actually have our young children having to make life and death decisions, and then we wonder why children are killing children and children are killing their parents, and maybe why parents are killing their children. We take away any moral foundation, we teach them violence, and then we sit back in horror as they commit the crimes that we have taught them so well to commit in the schools of America.